wherever he went, into villages, towns, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch just the end of his robe. And everyone who touched it was healed.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you this morning. For those who I haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name's Nikhil. I'm one of the assistants here at Narellan. And as Paula said, we've got some great stories, a great passage to dive into. Unfortunately, I haven't brought fresh bread with me, so you'll have to kind of push through till morning tea for a feed. As we come to this part of God's Word, let's pray together and ask for God's help. Father, we give you great thanks that you are a God who speaks and that you teach us about yourself and about your plans for us. And we pray, Father, that this morning, as we take these words to our heart, that we might trust you even that little bit more, and that we might know you and love you for who you are. Amen. We've been in Mark's Gospel asking this question. Today we're talking about the shepherd that we need. We've been asking this question, who is Jesus? That's what Mark's Gospel is interested in. It's interested in the question of who is Jesus? And to that point, this passage that we come to culminates kind of where we are. Jesus uses this notion of being a shepherd as the next part of what we get to find out about who Jesus is. Shepherds in ancient Israel was a kind of significant and common role. They were people who protected, who fed, who nurtured and guided the sheep. Shepherds chose the path, they chose the destination, sheep follow. Shepherds were responsible for the health and safety of the sheep, and they were responsible for the outcome of where they were going, that they would reach their destination safely. Now, I don't know about you, most of us probably don't do a lot of shepherding in our day-to-day. I don't even know if we get shepherded a lot. We're pretty good at not being shepherded. Maybe the kids know what that's like. In today's passage, Jesus shows his disciples that he is the shepherd of God's people. You would have noticed that as Jesus performs the miracle, the crowds aren't really aware of the miracle that's taken place. For the crowds, food just appears like it was planned for months beforehand. This miracle is for the disciples. And it's a miracle that's meant to show that Jesus is the shepherd that the disciples need. In fact, the shepherd that God's people need. The closest image I think we have to the language of shepherding is leadership. And so this morning I want to ask you, do you trust in Jesus' leadership? Do you trust in his plans? Do you trust in where he's taking you? Do you trust that he'll keep you safe on the journey? Now, kind of a Christian's kind of response should be to want to say, of course I do. Of course I trust in Jesus. But you, like me, would know that it's one thing to say that in the good moments, but it's tougher to do in the hard moments. What do we do when the world seems out of control, when things are difficult? I mean, all you have to do is turn on the news to know that our world looks like a scary place more and more each day. What about our own lives? When things get tough, when we face challenges at work, or when we lose our jobs, when things feel out of control, do we really trust in Jesus? What about when things are personal? What happens when our families suffer? When we have to face sickness or death? When the hits keep coming, who do you turn to? Do you trust in Jesus? It's helpful that we've had these kind of readings in 2 Kings. Last week, even in Mark, we've heard of what God's people have to look forward to when they sit under bad leadership. Last week we heard about King Herod, an awful king who kind of did what he did because he wanted to please those around him, the rich people. He was easily influenced, and the result of that was the death of John the Baptist, a man who loved God and followed him. God's word, even as we read, as we hear from 2 Kings, reminds us that when God's people have a good leader, things go well for God's people, but when they sit under bad leadership, things go badly. We here know the importance of leadership. You would know as well as I do that we struggle to keep a political leader for more than 6 months these days. And even if we were convinced that we want them for six more months, their own political parties don't want them. We know that leadership is important because every time things go badly, when things aren't as good as they should be, we know that the answer is a change in leadership. And if you think it only happens in politics, it's true about every sporting team that you probably follow. My Canterbury Bulldogs are under a huge cultural shift with a new coach, new captain. It's a new era. When things go badly, you replace the people at the top. This morning, Jesus reminds us that he is the man for God's people. He's the leader that they have always needed, the leader for whom, with whom, things will go well. So let's dive into this passage and see what Jesus teaches us about himself. Pick up with me from verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while." For many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Where we are in this part of Mark's gospel is that the disciples have been out on mission. They've been out on mission, and things have gone well. In fact, so much so that as they've come back to report to Jesus, things are kind of out of control. The crowds just keep turning up. They have no control over who's coming when and who's going when. You know, we're not that far from New Year's Eve. Just picture the crowds gathering for the fireworks. That's the kind of vibe we're talking about. There's not even space to swing your arms. The closest towns to where Jesus is are probably no bigger than 1,000 people. And yet we know that in this passage, at least 5,000 men, not counting the men and women, were gathered at least at one time, which doesn't account for all those who have come and gone. There are huge crowds turning up because the gospel of Jesus has just so caught the attention of people's minds. People want to hear about Jesus. This is a message, a truth that people are wanting to hear. In our words, you could say that Jesus is trending. He's all over the social media accounts. Jesus and the disciples, they're so busy with people turning up that they don't even have a chance to eat or to have a rest. I feel like the parents of young kids can attest to this, the lack of personal space when your kids are kind of in their kind of most mental moments. The other day I was at home with Leo, my 14-month-old, and we just had a particularly bad day and there was just no moment for about. When you've got young kids, it's just not a moment for a bit of respite sometimes. It's a bit of a parenting confession, but you know what that produces in me? It doesn't produce love and graciousness. I'm sure that's all what you would all expect of me. It's probably what Jim thought when he hired me. In my natural self, I don't tend towards being loving and gracious. I have to work really hard at that. But do you notice what Jesus is like? There's no time and space. There's no moment for a break. But Jesus is so different. We read in verse 34... when Jesus finds the crowds, when he sees that they've beaten him to the spot that they were going to, he goes ashore and he saw a large crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things. We read about Jesus' compassion for this people. Jesus isn't frustrated with them. He's not grumpy. He's not annoyed. Jesus sees the crowd and he loves them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. If you're familiar with your Old Testament, like God's people would have been, you would know that this is a familiar phrase. This is a passage actually that riffs a lot off the Old Testament Exodus. A time where God had saved his people. This is kind of the big story of the Jewish people. You can imagine that if you're at kind of a family barbecue in the nation of Israel, this is the story that gets told over and over, the time when God saved his people out of slavery. God leads them out by his own hand. He takes them through the passing of the Red Sea, out into the wilderness, and eventually God takes them to a promised land. This is the kind of story that's captured our attention today. We have movies like The Prince of Egypt that kind of speak to this story. And if it captured our attention, it was so much bigger in the life of God's people. And so when we read in Mark's gospel account that Jesus sees them like a sheep without a shepherd, that's a phrase that means something. It's a phrase that comes from the book of Numbers. And we see that whilst God's people are out in the wilderness, when they don't know what's going on, they're a bit confused, they're a bit dazed, they're a bit like sheep, Moses, their leader, prays a prayer to God on their behalf. Let me read these words from the book of Numbers. So Moses appealed to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all, appoint a man over the community who will go out before them and come back in before them, and who will bring them out and bring them in, so that the Lord's community won't be like sheep without a shepherd." This passage in Mark is heralding back to that story of God bringing his people out of the wilderness. And Moses, knowing that he won't be around forever, asks God for a shepherd who will take God's people from where they are into the promised land. They were out in the wilderness, they were lonely, they were confused, they were stranded, and they needed leadership for God to take control. Did you notice that our passage also seems to be set in the wilderness? Twice Mark points out that Jesus was in a remote place. There are so many images that push back to the story in Exodus. Not only are both Jesus and the disciples in the wilderness, like God's people were in the wilderness, God's answer to Moses' prayer in the book of Numbers was a man named Joshua. God did raise up a man. He raised up a man named Joshua, who was God's appointed leader, who would lead the people like a shepherd. And interestingly, that name Joshua in the Greek translates into, sorry, in the Hebrew translates into Greek as Jesus. In the Old Testament story, there's a Jesus figure, Joshua, who leads God's people from the wilderness to the promised land. And here in Mark 6, we have a Jesus in the wilderness who has love for his people like a shepherd who promises to lead. And then we get this phrase, sheep without a shepherd. The links are obvious, they're explicit. And the heart of Jesus shepherding is the fact that he loves this people. Jesus loves them, and his love causes him to know what they need and provide what they need for the journey. Do you notice how often it happens that Jesus provides? Jesus loves his disciples. He knows that they need rest after the mission. Jesus sees this kind of crowd. He knows that they need teaching. They've come for the truth. Jesus knows that they need it. You know, today for us, we're invited to respond to Jesus in the same way, knowing that he loves us, that he knows our needs. His love is the love of a parent, of a shepherd. It's true, it's faithful. If you're here for the first time or you're new to discovering Jesus, the heart of the Christian message kind of lies on this plank. That God's love for you in the person of Jesus is a sure thing. The rest of the gospel message is worth discovering because God loves you so much. And in fact, even before you've decided to turn up here, God loved you and he's gone to remarkable lengths to make sure that you can have a relationship with him. If anything, that's the reason why it's worth discovering who Jesus is. Jesus, unlike our human leaders, unlike Herod, unlike our politicians, unlike whoever we look up to as our leaders, Jesus is a man, a leader, a shepherd who truly loves. And it's because he loves us that we can have confidence in him. But knowing that your leader cares about you isn't enough. Knowing that he cares for you and he knows what's good for you isn't enough. The second question that you should be asking is he a leader that can achieve the outcome? It's one thing to know what we need, but can he actually do it? Is he powerful enough? And this, I think, is a trap that the disciples fall into. They know Jesus' love, they know who he is, but they forget over and over that Jesus is all-powerful, that he's totally in control. We see that the kind of the crux of this miracle comes off the back of a problem. We see that the disciples face a hospitality issue. Let me read from verse 35. When it grew late, his disciples approached him and said, "This place is deserted and it's already late. Send them away so that they can go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat." "You give them something to eat," he responded. They said to him, "Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" It's a remarkable moment. I mean, Jesus has already made clear the ways in which he is like the leader of God's people in that Old Testament Exodus. And actually, God's people should have known that God was the one who provided bread even in the wilderness. But the disciples have forgotten all of that, it seems. And they're faced by this huge problem. And, you know, markedly, it's a huge problem. You know, in the language of today, we're talking about something in the realm of $30,000 or $40,000, however you want to figure out what an average wage looks like today. They've got a crowd that are unable to go and get food easily from the local corner shop. And the cost of feeding these people is huge. And when they come up against a huge problem, they totally lose sight of the one who's with them. Imagine this morning that in the announcements, Jim got up and said that the next dinner and prayer is happening at your night, and there's a huge crowd coming, $30,000 or $40,000 worth of people to feed. That's a small car loan trying to feed these people. The problem is so big for the disciples, and they just have no idea how to tackle it. All that they can see is what they don't have. They're fundamentally aware that they don't have enough food or enough money to feed this crowd. But Jesus, I think, is more interested in what they do have. "You give them something to eat," he says. The disciples have come back from telling people about how amazing Jesus is. They've been telling people the gospel, and people have been saved. There have been miracles done. Amazing. People have responded to the message. People have put their trust in Jesus. And yet, now that they're with Jesus, they've forgotten that he's the one who has power to cast out demons, to heal sickness, to even raise a girl from the dead. They've forgotten the one who they're with. Jesus is more than capable of coming up with food for this crowd. He's more than enough, but they seem to forget. But even when the disciples waver in their confidence in Jesus, when they waver in their own abilities, just as God provided for his people in the Old Testament Exodus, Jesus provides for them now. We get a hint of this because Jesus divides up the crowd into little groups, 50s and hundreds, just like God had divided up his people in the Old Testament story. And just like in the Old Testament story, Jesus feeds everyone, totally and sufficiently. And if there's any doubt, we have 12 basketfuls of bread that are left over to make that point. Jesus isn't just a shepherd who loves his sheep. He's a shepherd who's totally powerful and in control. He loves his people and he's totally sufficient to meet their needs. The question we're left with this morning is, Jesus has come as the shepherd king, but are we willing to follow him? He is the shepherd who loves you and his power is on your side, but are you on his side? Will you trust him? He is a leader like nothing else that we've ever seen. He's better than any politician you've ever put your trust in. He's better than the best boss you've ever had. He's better than the best mentor that you've ever looked up to. The most controversial thing I could probably say to you is that Jesus will be a better leader of your life than you could be. He loves you more than you do. And he's more powerful to achieve the things that you need than you are. That's what I've been struck by this week as I spent time in this passage. And so the obvious question is, will you entrust your life to him? Our passage moves really quickly from this amazing feeding story into a moment where the disciples are traveling. It's interesting that Jesus is the shepherd that they need, the one who will shepherd them from A to B and take them safely home. And we see the disciples in the very next story traveling. They're on a ship. They're out on the sea. And they find themselves caught out there in a terrible storm, the kind of storm that is far bigger a problem than trying to feed 5,000. Their very lives are at stake. In the ancient world, the people were terribly afraid of the sea. The sea was this kind of agent of chaos. Nothing good happened around the water. It was very tricky. If you've, like me, get stuck in those kind of YouTube rabbit holes, watch those reels of, you know, huge naval ships out in the deep water, and you've seen waves throw these boats around left, right, and center. Imagine that with all the technology that we have today of the greatest military forces, the ocean is such a powerful element. Now imagine these disciples with wooden oars in their hands straining against a storm that they can't control. They're terrified, and they know that their lives are at stake. They're terrified, they're full of fear. They're caught in a situation that they can't control. And this time, Jesus isn't there, or so it seems. In our hardest moments in life, when we face the difficult things, it will feel like we're alone. It can feel like Jesus is far away. When we lose that job, or terrible things happen in our families, when sickness or death happen, maybe it's those times where we read God's word and we hear what God has to say, the way that we should live, but it's too hard. We don't want to live that way. We want to do things differently. Or maybe it's being a Christian in the workplace or in our schools. At times, living the Christian life is a scary concept. We can feel alone and we can feel like God is far away. Just like with the feeding of the 5,000, just like with the time on the sea, the disciples aren't spared from hard moments. And just like that, we're not spared from hard challenges either. But the call of the gospel is to put your trust in Jesus. The call is not to not go through hard times. The call is a question of what you will do in the hard times. Will you trust in the shepherd who loves you and is totally powerful? God reminds us that our shepherd really is in control and he's totally with us. In his love, he never leaves. They felt alone, but look at what happens in verses 47 and 48. Well into the night, the boat was in the middle of the sea and he was alone on the land. He saw them straining at the oars because the wind was against them. We have those moments where we feel alone, where the challenges seem too tough. When the trust bucket seems empty, those times will come, but what we do is a thing that separates us from others. Or is it the thing that Jesus does? When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke with them and he said, "Have courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them and the wind ceased. They were terrified, they were alone, the problem seemed too big. But Jesus is always there on their side, he's always watching, and full of compassion, full of power, Jesus comes to their rescue. Did you notice his power, that he defies physics to walk along the water to reach them? He gets there and he reassures them in his love. He gets in the boat with them, full of love. And when he gets in the boat with them, his power means that the storm ceases. The love of Jesus and his power are on the side of the disciples. Even when they feel empty, even when they feel like they've got nothing left in the tank, Jesus is totally sufficient. Just like the bread that feeds the crowd in the wilderness, Jesus' power is enough for even our darkest moments. In fact, when Jesus comes to the boat and he says, "It is I," Jesus uses a phrase that is actually the name of God from the Old Testament. God in the Old Testament is called by his people the I Am. The God who always is, the God who always will be, the God who never changes. When Jesus approaches the boat, he says, "I am." God is with them in the boat, even amidst the storm. That is God's promise to us as much as it was to the disciples. The miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, was a sign of Jesus for the disciples to trust in who he is, the shepherd who loves and who is in total control, full of power. And yet by the end of the story, we read that the disciples' hearts were hardened. They didn't get Jesus. They keep forgetting who he is. They keep forgetting that he's on their side. And yet, as the story unfolds, Jesus will show that he is enough. He will reveal himself. He is the one who will be sure even when we are not. You just have to trust in him. Follow his ways. When we face those hard times, what helps us is going back to the scriptures and reminding ourselves of the promises of God and knowing that he always comes through because of his love and his power. I hope this morning that you're encouraged, whether it's been the hard times in the past, maybe you're there now, or maybe it's when the hard times come in the future. Will you turn to Jesus and trust that he will be enough? That by trusting in him, he will see you through. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how following Jesus means being on mission with Jesus. And I guess the question for us as a church, how this hits the rubber hits the road for us as a church, is will we trust in Jesus that his gospel is enough? That as God calls us to be out on mission with Jesus, that if we extend the message of the gospel, if we stand with Jesus and join with him on mission, that he will achieve his purposes. It can feel difficult, it can feel nerve-wracking and fearful to go out and tell our neighbors or our colleagues about the good news of Jesus. But do you know that Jesus is with you in those moments in his love and his power? Nothing can take you away from the hands of Jesus. And this morning, that's the reminder that we're left with, that he is the good shepherd.